Today's episode is sponsored by Jam.com, the perfect last-minute holiday gift for your kids or grandkids. The courses at Jam.com are project-based, creative, and fun. I'll tell you more about it at the end of the show and give you a code to save $50 off a course or gift card. Today's episode is the number 3 episode of 2017. Now, it was recorded over the summer at 5 Mistakes Teachers Make the First Week of School with Linda Cardamus. However, this is something to think about and reflect on since we're getting ready for the school year to start up again for us here in the Northern Hemisphere. And those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, it's things for you to think about while you're enjoying your summertime so you can start well. Remember, you can reboot any time you want to. And the beginning of the year is a great time to reboot your classroom. So this is worth another listen. 5 Mistakes Teachers Make the First Week of School with Linda Cardamus.
The 10-Minute Teacher Podcast with Vicki Davis. Every weekday, you'll learn powerful, practical ways to be a more remarkable teacher today.
So today we're talking about 5 mistakes teachers make the first week of school with Linda Cardamus from Teach From the Heart. And I have to give a hat tip to my friends at Sherwood Christian Academy because they told me about Linda and they love her. So Linda, help me understand and help all of us understand, what are the 5 mistakes that we do not want to make the first week of school?
That first week of school is so important. And that first mistake is just that. The first mistake is not realizing how important the first week of school is. So sometimes you just think, oh, I'm just going to jump in, I'm going to be excited. But you don't realize how important it is to set aside time to really teach your procedures, to establish structure, and to really make sure that you have all your ducks in a row. Because if you make mistakes that first week of school, it can really derail the rest of your year. But if you start outright, it's really powerful.
Oh, it is so much. And it is very important how you start. You know, I want to have that. I want somebody to go home and talk about my class the first day, because that's yes. One of the only times parents say, hey, what classes do you like? You know, it's usually what did you do wrong? Okay, what's the second one?
The second one is expecting good procedures to just happen. So this kind of, sometimes teachers make 2 mistakes underneath this one. Sometimes we don't think through our procedures. So we just think, oh, we'll just go to the restroom without thinking through, okay, I need a plan for how we're going to go to the restroom. The other mistake is just telling your students your procedures. So instead of you just tell them, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pass in our papers. Instead, you actually have to practice it with them. And I take it a little further. I say, don't just practice. If someone does something wrong when you're practicing it, kindly correct them, be very encouraging, and then have them redo the part that went wrong. And if you do that, then your students will have amazing procedures. It'll take time in the beginning, but it'll pay off the whole rest of the year.
And my sister, who was a teacher for many years, said you can never be tougher than you are that first week. And that's really the time we're trying to teach, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, what's our third?
The third one is kind of goes along with what you just said. It's letting little things go. And I did this my first year, especially. I didn't really know how to deal with issues. I had good intentions. I didn't want to, you know, whack kids on the head for just talking out loud or having their head down or something little like that. But what I did instead is I did nothing. I didn't say anything. I just let it all go. And what happened was those little problems don't stay little. They started growing because students thought, you know, she doesn't really mean what she says. She says to do this, but nothing happens when I don't. And so I learned to address small issues the first week of school. And I learned that that doesn't mean you have to give a consequence, but it does mean you have to address it. So even something really simple like, Greg, we don't run in the classroom. Please step back outside and come in calmly. Just addressing them instead of letting them go is huge because it sends a strong message to our students that procedures matter, we mean what we say, and we're here to focus and learn.
And you know, procedures actually give us a lot of freedom to be creative, because I know if I didn't have my procedures in my classroom, I would be focusing on the little things and not being able to do these other exciting things, you know?
Right. And I really believe that first week of school is about it. Like those first few weeks, if you can focus and put in the work of establishing the procedures, establishing structure, then you're able to do fun stuff the whole rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you sometimes jump in on, you know, the fun stuff before you have your procedures established, then it's like a fight the whole year and you're not able to do as much as you want to do. Then you can do, like you said, so many fun things you can do with your class. Yeah.
Okay. What's our fourth?
Number four is worrying about being liked. And I mean, we all like to be liked, of course, but do we worry about it? And if we let that desire drive our decisions, we're going to set ourselves up for trouble. And ironically, our students often end up not respecting us and not liking us. So I like to think of it in this way. Instead of trying to be a student's friend, strive to be a mentor. So instead of thinking of yourself as a friend, think of a mentor. Because a mentor doesn't let things go. You know, they have high expectations. They're pulling their students up. So you can be both kind and firm, personable, but not a pushover, understanding, kind, compassionate, but you deal with issues. And when you're that type of teacher, you gain their respect and they actually often even end up liking you.
You know, I always tell my students, you're going to thank me when you're 23. That is my goal. That's when I want them to like me. Not now, because they're kids and I love them, but kids are kids. And even as adults, we make mistakes. And, you know, I love the idea of, you know, redemptive teaching, of trying to help kids to be able to turn around that attitude. And also, though, if you look at Hattie's research, the number one thing is teacher expectations. I was telling somebody the other day, if a teacher says these kids can't learn, go ahead and take them out of the classroom and don't even waste your year, because whatever the teacher believes is what they're going to receive from those kids. Okay, what's the fifth?
The last one is just not being prepared. Do you know what you're going to do when a student blurts out an answer, when they get up and wander around the room, if they use profanity or any other classroom issue? You know, my first year, I didn't have a plan. And because I didn't, I lacked confidence. And so when these things inevitably came up, I did nothing. And we already talked about what happened when we did nothing. So it really helps to have a plan ahead of time. I even recommend writing it down and, you know, talk to other teachers, you know, read blogs, do whatever you need to do. But come up with a plan. Even if it's not the best plan in the world, it's better than no plan. Because if you, like I said, if you have no plan at all, you're going to freeze and not know what to do. But if you have a plan, it'll really help your confidence and your students will be able to see that.
And you know, I feel like I have a plan for almost everything, but I'm going to give you one of my problems. So I love having classroom conversations and we'll have them. But when the kids get excited, they overtalk each other. And then sometimes they'll even do it to me. And, you know, I've tried like I teach older kids. So the thinking stick and the talk, like the stuff that works for elementary kids, is kind of demeaning for the older kids. So Linda, do you have an idea for me?
When the students are talking, like they'd start talking over top of each other?
Yeah, they'll start talking over the top of each other. And then if I don't stop it, then they'll do it to me. And I just can't stand that because I feel like each person needs an opportunity to be heard. Sometimes your extroverts will do this more often than your introverts, and it can really make it difficult for those introverts to be heard.
Yes. Well, one thing that comes to mind is Michael Hyatt talks about this all the time, and he has the rule that it's just we have one conversation. He does this even at his dinner table. And obviously, this does take a lot of teaching of the procedure, but he just basically says, you know, we always have one conversation. So in other words, one person's talking. If someone else is talking, you know, kind of just teaching them to let the other person finish first and just not to break into those side conversations. Because I know that's so often where things happen is two students will start talking side on the side, and then it'll just they'll draw out someone else in, and like you said, soon everyone's having side conversations. But if you kind of create that expectation that we're having one conversation, everyone participates in the one conversation and not the side conversations, maybe that would help a little bit. I'm not sure. That's the best I can come with on the top of my head.
I know, and I sprung that on her, but this is just one example of many of the awesome things you can get from Teach from the Heart. We're going to include in the show notes a full webinar that you do, Linda, on the 5 mistakes teachers make the first week of school.
Yeah, if you go to teachfortheheart.com/back-to-school-training, you will be able to sign up for this training. It would actually be a video replay, so you can watch it on your own time and get all the tips. We just go into these in much more detail, and then we talk about how to correct them and how to start the school year right.
Teachers, get out there and be remarkable and don't make these mistakes. We've gotten some great advice, and I even got some advice for the thing I'm studying up on this summer, which is I love this. I love Michael Hyatt too. Having one conversation. I really like that. And that'll be on my list. And you can see how all of us have something that we need to improve on every year. It's part of being remarkable. It's part of improving.
Absolutely.
Today's sponsor is Jam.com. At Jam, kids aged 7 through 16 can take cool courses like the Secrets of Drawing, invention courses, how to build anything with Legos, and even how to host your own Minecraft video show. This week, I spent some time looking at these amazing courses, and I love what I have seen. It has project-based courses for kids with experts from many exciting fields. So think about mad science experiments with Nat Geo stars or learning drawing techniques from a professional artist. So you can get $50 off any course or gift card at jam.com with the code COOLCAT50. That's COOLCAT50 at jam.com. This is just in time for the perfect gift and a wonderful way to spend all that out-of-school time learning and having fun, like learning should be.
Thank you for listening to the 10-Minute Teacher Podcast. You can download the show notes and see the archive at coolcatteacher.com/podcast. Never stop learning.